Amen.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome, Lord and Peace Church. Hallelujah. Let's stand and start praise and worship together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We just ask that you lead this time of worship, lead this time of praise. Hallelujah. We give it to you. Just open up your mouth and thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his protection. Thank God for his provision. Thank God for his mercy and his grace, his goodness. Father, we worship you. Thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you.
Cause you're ready, I'm a one now. It doesn't matter what you see now. You see his glory. Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a one now. It doesn't matter what you see now. You see his glory. Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a one now. It doesn't matter what you see now. You see his glory.
Oh, us like unto you, O Father. There is none like you. Our God who reigns forever, all powerful, all knowing, everywhere present, there is none like you. We come before your throne room this day. We come boldly. We come worshiping. We come declaring your praise. We come, O God, with our voices lifted up, just to say how wonderful, how awesome, how glorious you are. Your loving kindness and your tender mercies keep and sustain us. You've cleansed us of all unrighteousness. You've established your word and your authority in our lives. You've kept us from the evil one. You've protected us, O God, from the onslaught of the enemy. Kept us, O God, from the evil of the strife of words, thoughts, actions, activities. If it were not for your grace, where would we be? Thank you, Father, that you are God in our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can say, I am healed. We can say, I am strong. We can say, I am rich. We can say, I am blessed. All of this, O God, not because of our might or power, but because of your grace, because of your spirit, because of your word. Thank you, Father, that you are here with us, doing great things. Thank you, Father, that you are our problem solver. And Lord, oh God, you're engaged in solving problems even before we knew we had a problem. Thank you, Father, that you are the restorer of our souls. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to have you all here this morning, exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Before Mama comes and leads us in our time of prayer, about a week and a half ago, we, just like we do every month, we have broadcast crusades and interviews and whatever else that goes to about 182 plus nations. The last one we did, we got a quick report from because certain things happened that they wanted us to know about right away. And this has been Mission Sunday. I thought I'll share this with you this morning. And later on, because of the sensitivity of the places that we go to, we are not going to show certain things on YouTube or Facebook, but rather we'll show it to you on Zoom. So those of you that would like to be on Zoom, I'm going to have the Zoom number put up right now so you can take note of it, so you can migrate to Zoom when we wrap up with everybody else. Okay, the number, the meeting ID is 851-8432. 5513, and the code or passcode is 945071. If you want to migrate to Zoom now, you may do so, or you can do so at the end when we dismiss you from YouTube and Facebook, so you can see some of the other things that we'll be showing to you. Like I said, because of the sensitivity of what some of the places that we go to. But for right now, before Mama comes, I'd like to have this email that was sent to us voiced over. The words are going to be on the screen, and you can hear the voice over, so you can also participate that way. Okay, let's have that video. And after this, Mama is going to come and lead us in our time of prayer together. Thank you, worship team.
The broadcast reached approximately 865,721 viewers across Pakistan and internationally. Viewers from Pakistan, the UK, Middle East, and North America reported life-changing encounters, spiritual breakthroughs, and physical and emotional healing after watching the broadcast. Over 621 souls were saved and committed their lives to Christ and experienced renewed faith. Over 28,643 messages and prayer requests were received from viewers seeking spiritual guidance, healing, and encouragement. A woman from Afghanistan called with a heart issue. While she was watching the program, her pain disappeared, and the next day she went to the hospital for tests, and they could find no issues. A man from Lahore was watching the program and received healing for his ears. He was able to hear the message. King Television would like to express their gratitude for Pastor Michael Effazino and his ministry. Praising the broadcast's powerful impact, heartfelt engagement, and life-transforming message that has touched audiences both nationally and globally.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And to give a good clap offering to the Lord. You know, he's the one that saves souls. Hallelujah. We want to thank him for every soul saved in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, it's prayer time, please. I'm waiting for the people at the back to finish visiting so I can start. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Together, and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Father, we honor you this morning. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor, and you deserve all the adoration. We give you praise. We thank you for our lives. We take nothing for granted. We thank you for giving us a good rest and waking us up this morning. Many went to sleep, they never woke up. But Lord, we are here in the land of the living. Another moment to glorify your name. We appreciate and we thank you. Sometimes we do not thank you enough. Sometimes we forget who you are. But Lord, may we remember you today, knowing that you are the God who made heaven and earth. You are the God who made all things. You are the God who owns all things. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for including us in your plan. We give you praise. We thank you for calling us your children. And we appreciate you and we call you our Abba Father. We bless your holy name. We thank you that all things, even our breath, belong to you. When you call for that breath, it is over. But Lord, we appreciate you this morning that you have sustained us, that we are breathing freely. We give you praise. Every other thing is nothing. They come back and align themselves to your word. We thank you that your living word is alive in us. We give you praise. You are a God who says something and you do what you say. You are a God who does not lie. You are a truthful Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. You are the way that we need. You are the only way. You are our life. We give you praise, Lord. Your word says you have put before us life and death, and you curse us. You even gave us the answer to pick. Say, choose life. We choose life today, and we thank you for giving us abundant life. We thank you that you are our life. All is well with us and our household. Father, there is nothing you cannot do. If you made all things, you are able to fix all things. You are the answer and the solution. Many families, whatever they are going through today, you can see them and you have the answer. May they know the answer is right there in their home. May they know the oil is still in their house. May they know the flour is still in their house. That the multiplying God is still present. He's able to change situations that look so impossible and make it possible. Father, it is you we came to worship. It is you we came to give thanks to. We've not come to meet with man to see how man looks like. We come to look at you, our living God, because you are the only true God. You are the faithful God. You are the merciful Father. You are the one who sees all things. We thank you that you are able to provide. If you are able to provide for Hagar, you can provide for anybody today. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Where there is no water, you bring water. Where there is no road, you create a road. When it looks like it's dead end, there is no dead end in God. You open the impossibility and make it possible. We thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for miracles that are happening in lives right now. Thank you, Lord, for answers to prayers right now. We thank you, O God, for solutions. We thank you for ideas. We thank you that you are helping your people right now. We thank you, O God, that it is well with us and our household. Can you say it is well with me and my household? Yes. When death faced that great woman and the son is dying and they asked her, is it well with you? She said, it is well with me. It is well with me and my household. It is well with those that need a miracle right now. It is well in the name of Jesus. You send your word and you heal them of all their diseases. Deliver them from all their destructions. Bring them to a place of wholeness. May the Son of God rise with healing in his wings. And hover around your people, Lord, bringing them to full wholeness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the miracles you've done in Pakistan, in UK, in North America, in different places where the programs went. The miracles you are doing on a daily basis, souls saved. People coming into your kingdom, thousands of people. Healing and deliverance, hundreds of people coming to you. We appreciate you, O God. We thank you for depopulating hell and bringing them into your kingdom. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Save your people, Lord. Save your people, Lord. Save family members. Save households. Restore, 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 restore. Bring strength. Bring peace, bring unity, bring joy, bring love, bring restoration, bring correction, bring uplifting. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, covenant-keeping God. Ah, who never breaks his covenant? When man fail, you never fail. Oh, we trust you this morning. We put our trust in you. For every need, is met according to your riches in glory. There's more than enough supply from your riches in glory to meet the demand on earth. We give you praise. We hold on to your word. We receive your word. We receive solutions, breakthroughs, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, prosperity to her palaces, covenant-keeping God. Remember your everlasting covenant you made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You made it with Noah and his seeds. You now made it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made it with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You've made it a fixed covenant, covenant of love, caught in the blood of Jesus. We receive your blessing. That blessing now reign in Israel, reign in Canada, reign in Nigeria, reign in United States of America, reign in Mali, reign in Senegal, reign in Niger, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch every nation, every island of the sea, where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord. Save your divine, save your people, restore them. Touch the hearts of men to truly serve the living God, to be genuine before you, holy and pure, righteous and peaceful, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your coming draw nigh, may none of our family members be left behind. May we not be left behind, neither our family members. May every member of our household, like you saved Noah and his household, save our entire household. May we enter that ark of your promise, your living word, in the name of Jesus. With those that are sick, we declare you, be healed, be restored, be made whole. And the poor say, I am rich. And the weak say, I am strong. And we thank you that there's no feeble or weak among us. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you. Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, and the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word, rest heavily upon us, our household, our city, our nation, and this service this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read one scripture to you, Psalm 61. You may be seated. You can open your Bible. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Say amen. All right, God bless you, Apostle.
Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? Watching. Remember the Lord talking about watching and praying? Can't you even give me 1 hour? This word watching is synonymous to giving in the context of this passage. Watch and pray, give and pray. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Who's going to serve them? The Lord. He says, he's going to say, sit down, and himself will come and serve you. You mean from my giving, God is going to come and serve me? Yes. What do you think God is doing every time he answers your prayers? He's serving you. He says, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants who are ready no matter when he come. God is good. Amen. I consider myself bold in preaching the Word of God. But I find myself challenged many times, not in a regular discourse, in a regular service, or in certain particular things, in a message, as an illustration. But I don't know why, many times when God asked me to talk just specifically on giving, that I sort of push back. And then the Lord reminds me, this is not about you, what you feel. This is about my people. And then I come back. And this has happened to me. This is me fessing up too many times. And so I was challenged when the Lord began to speak to me about talking about this subject this Sunday. Now, I think it is, for want of better words, I don't think I have a fear of man. But I cannot separate this aversion from that. What will people say? People are going to say this, people are going to say that. So today, in the mighty name of Jesus, I break that spirit. Hallelujah. Because I made a commitment to the Lord many years ago that the day that I look at God's people as source, that's the day I close the Bible, sit down, and listen to somebody else preach. So I must always check myself to make certain that my motives are founded in the Word of God. Amen? Well, the Word of God says to us in the book of 3 John, talking about the power of giving, that's my subject today. It says in the book of 3 John, it's a one chapter book, the second verse. It says, beloved, I wish above all things, this is my desire, above all things, that thou mayest prosper. This is God's heartbeat for us. That we what? Prosper. That we succeed in life. And secondly, and be in health. Two things. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And so in that particular passage of Scripture, we see that the prosperity of our soul determines the level of the prosperity of our whole life and our health. As your soul is prospering, so also should you prosper. Can you see that? Okay. So how does my soul prosper? My soul prospers by the hearing of the word of God and obedience to that word. So in my obedience to the word of God, my soul prospers. Until you obey the word of God, you cannot prosper. Whether that be the prosperity of the soul in coming to salvation, you have to obey the word of God. And that obedience to the word of God is my faith in belief and trust in the word of God, that what God says is the truth. Now, when we talk about prosperity and good success and increase, our foundational scriptures come from the Old Testament. The New Testament basically assumes, in a sense, that you already know and have the foundation of the truth as embedded in the Old Testament. That's the foundation. So when the Lord Jesus Christ talks about tithing, for example, in Matthew 23 and verse 23, he makes a statement like this. You know, people say Jesus didn't talk about tithing. No, no, he talked about tithing in a very strict, perfect way. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." He says, "For you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." The weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done. You should have done judgment, mercy, and faith, and not to leave the order undone. You should have honored me, yes, in your tithing, but you should not have left out of the equation these weightier matters of the law of judgment, mercy, and faith. Look at that. God says to us, "Hey, I'm interested in your giving. But more than that, I want you to address the issue of justice, mercy, truth. I know you know about tithing already. So when we talk about giving here, we're talking about not just the giving of finances, we're talking about the giving of justice, mercy, and faith." Are we together so far? Now, this is exemplified in the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter. There's a particular passage of Scripture that we talk about a great deal in Luke 6 and verse 38, where it talks about giving. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now, we use this particular passage of Scripture in talking about giving in terms of finances and stuff like that. But the context of this particular passage comes when Jesus was talking about the issue of forgiveness. Are we together so far? So that forgiveness is connected to justice, mercy, and truth. Do you get that? Okay? So those two are linked together. You cannot separate those two things. Whether it is the giving of your finances or the giving of your love and care, mercy, truth, justice, judgment, the word of God says, you have to give it. Look at the word forgive, or forgiveness, or forgiven. That is, in a sense, almost a compound word. Forgiveness is for giving. You have to give it. Praise the Lord. Are we together so far? You have to give it. If you do not give, you don't get. The word of God says, the Lord says in, I believe it's in Acts 24, he says, it is more blessed, Acts 20 and verse 35, I think. It is more blessed to give than to receive. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. You ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because without the giving, there's no receiving. It is in your giving that you sow. And the word of God says, God multiplies the seed sown. He blesses the sower. God wants you and I to be people that invest into the things of the kingdom. He says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Your giving is important to God. My giving is important to God. In Psalm 50, beginning to read from verse 5, I'm going to look at verse 5 and 6, and then I'm going to look at a whole segment of verse 7 to 13, and then I'm going to look at this segment of 14 to 15. It says in 5, gather my sins together unto me. Gather. I remember the word of the Lord to us this year, that this is the year of the what? In gathering. He says, gather my sins together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by what? Sacrifice. He says, gather those who have made a covenant with me. They've come into a covenant relationship with me. And they did so by sacrifice. They made a decision. I'm going to give. I'm going to sacrifice to God. He says, and by so doing, they came into a covenant. He says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. Remember the statement from Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his what? Righteousness. And every other thing shall be added unto you. Now he says here, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God's judge himself. For God is judge himself. So when we come into covenant by sacrifice, God begins to declare over us righteousness. Are we together? Righteousness is a gift of God through the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we first of all came into that place of righteousness. Now, for us to embrace, just like we confess, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died for our sins. He paid the full price. The sins of the whole world have been taken care of. But for us to receive that salvation, we have to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God has given to us the gift of righteousness. And how he causes us to embrace that righteousness is by the declaration of righteousness over us when we come into covenant with him through sacrifice. Are we together so far? This is not a matter of works. It is a matter of faith in agreement to the word of God. Prosper according to the soul's prosperity. For God is judge himself. God is judging who the righteousness abides in. Do you see it? He says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee." Now, God says, "I'm going to testify against you. I am God, even thy God." How is he going to testify against these people? He says, "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices." I'm not going to comment on your sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. That's what you're supposed to do. Your sacrifice is supposed to be continually before me. I'm not going to talk to you about that. You should know that. That's what God is saying. Verse 9 goes on. He says, "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, all thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock," he says, verse 9, "out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the field," every beast of the forest is mine. "And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, it's mine. All of this mine." So I'm not going to reprove you on what you're supposed to do. "I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. All of it. If I were hungry, I will not tell you." This is God saying to us, "Listen, I don't have a need. That's not why I'm asking you about giving. Let's get this straight. I have no need. That's not why I'm asking you to give continually. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Okay, second reason. I don't need to eat. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? I don't need that. Now he tells us why. He says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Honor God. And then, verse 15, "and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So giving is connected to answered prayers. Do I want my prayers answered? He says, "Then you come to me and honor me." You honor me by giving to my purposes, by coming into covenant with me. Too many people want to ask God for stuff and have not learned the powerful key of honoring God with their giving. This is not bribing God. This is helping yourself. Amen? This is you helping yourself. Verse 16, because the world many times taps into the things of God. So he says, "But unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Why are you speaking the things of my statutes, or that thou shalt take my covenant in thy mouth?" The wicked. Who are these? Those that have not connected to God by sacrifice in covenant. God calls them wicked. Why does God call them wicked? He calls them wicked because they, by their actions, are limiting God from blessing them. God wants us all blessed. But when there are obstacles that make it impossible for God to do certain things, he says, you're wicked. You're wicked because you're not making it possible for me to do what I need to do in your life. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 6, the word of God tells us about acknowledging God. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't be smart, don't be wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. When you acknowledge God in all of your ways, when you have reverence, honor for the Lord, you will depart from evil. And secondly, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel. If your navel, which is a point of connection and nourishment to in your mother while you are still in the womb, if that navel is sick, you're done. Many people do not get birth and live full life because there is an ailment in their connection. Now God says to us how this connection is. And then it says, and marrow to thy bones. Marrow is that point in your bones where blood is being formed. And life is in the blood. Yes? Okay. So, watch this. It shall be held to thy navel when you're acknowledging God, when you're operating in the wisdom and reverence of God, when you are departing or separating yourself from anything that is evil. Anything that's evil. And when we're talking about that which is evil, we're not just talking about not getting drunk, not committing adultery, not lying. We're talking about anything that's evil, just as evil as sickness and disease, poverty. He says when you acknowledge God and you reverence God, you will separate yourself from that which is wrong for you. Are we together? And then it says, honor the Lord. This is how you do it. Acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, this is how you do it. Honor the Lord with thy what? Substance. Honor God with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. As you honor the Lord with your substance, God is going to bring increase to you. He says, and as he brings increase to you, bring first fruits out of that increase. Amen? Now, the tithe is a first fruit. It's a form of first fruit. But there's also another first fruit. And these two first fruits, one first fruit goes to the house of God. Malachi tells us about that. And Ezekiel tells us about the other kind of first fruits, which goes to the man of God. Now, these two first fruits have two different purposes. The first fruit of Malachi, chapter 3, let's look at that real quickly. Malachi 3, beginning to read from verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And because of that, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have, watch this, robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, God says, you've robbed me. Now, there's a difference between robbing and stealing. Stealing is something that you do secretly without somebody knowing about it. You stole something. When you rob, you're looking at the person straight on and overpowering the person to take what belongs to them. Are we together? So we don't have words like armed stealer. We have armed robber. Yes? Are we together? So when God says, you've robbed me, God is simply saying, you have overpowered me and taken what belongs to me. And you did it confronting me. So when somebody does not honor God with a tithe, they are confronting God and overpowering God. Now, how do you overpower God and then come ask God to solve your problem? You're more powerful than me. Solve your problem. Are we together? You, man, all powerful. And you come in to tell me that I'm all powerful. Who's lying? Me or you? So God says, you robbed me. And all of you, you robbed me. You say, how did we do that? He says, by you robbing me, you are cursed. What is the curse? The curse is the absence of the blessing. Say it with me, the curse is the absence of the blessing. So when the blessing is not, the curse is present. When the blessing is, the curse is not. Do I want the blessing? Well, he tells us then that the blessing comes about because we're in covenant with God. And if we want the blessing, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring it all into the storehouse, that there may be meat where? In mine house. The tithe brings about meat in the house of God, so that the needs of people are addressed in the house of God. He says, and when you do that, prove me now, hear what says the Lord of hosts. The first time God says, test me. God always says, don't test me. Don't, thou, you know, Jesus our Lord said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, right? But here in Malachi, he says, prove me now or test me on this. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven. I'm going to open to you the windows of heaven. Now, let's think about it for a moment. What are windows? Here in this building, we don't have a window. It's all solid right across. That looks like a window, but it's really not a window. What do windows do? Windows open up the other dimension to you. Are we together? That's what windows do. You're in your house, and you are sheltered in your house. You look out the window, and you see the outside, the other side. God is saying, hey, check me out on this and see if I'm not going to open the other side to you, the windows of heaven. So you see the expanse of what is available, and I'm pour you out a blessing. I'm going to pour you out what? A blessing. that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm going to give to you so much that you don't have enough room to receive it. Wow. Now, if I don't have enough room to receive it, won't that be waste? And God says, no. I'm going to give to you so much that you'll have enough here in the earth and an overflow in the heavens. Oh, I don't know if you got that. But I'll come back to that in a moment and talk some more about that, this overflow in the heavens. He says, and I will, this is God now, I will rebuke the devourer for who? Your sake. He said he will do what? Rebuke the devourer. When I say, Lord, I rebuke the devourer. Lord, rebuke the devourer. No, he automatically. Did you hear that? It is written in the algorithm that as soon as the enemy tries to raise his head against you and your finances, that God kicks in and says, hey, get out of here. You don't come here. I'm in covenant with him. Praise the Lord. God will rebuke the devourer for my sake. Now, you can go pile up all kinds of stuff for yourself and not be in connection with God in your giving. And God has no say. He'll be watching the enemy, chewing down on everything you've got. And meanwhile, you're saying, oh, Lord, the devil, oh, I'm fasting. He already told you what kind of fasting he requires. It is fasting is giving. It's not you starving. So when God looks at my fasting record, does he see giving? Meeting the needs of the weak, raising them up, helping them. What does he see? If you see me disengaged, walking like the Pharisee and the Sadducee who saw the man beaten up and did not come and help him like the good Samaritan did, then he has no connection with us. I want God to be connected to everything I'm connected with. I remember the Lord kept on reminding me about this this morning. And he was saying to me, he said, you remember this that happened to you? I said, yes. You remember there was no damage? I said, yes. What happened to the other person? I said, they got damaged. He said, you know why you didn't get damaged? I said, why? He said, because I was protecting my stuff. Amen. Wow. You're wondering what I'm talking about. I had gone... Mama and I had gone to the wellness to do our daily exercise in the morning, and we came down on Leela, and this lady was turning off to go back to Seven Oaks Hospital, and for whatever crazy reason decides to swing back off, and boom, hits us. I said, look at me. What on earth? What was she doing? How come she comes and hits me? And I come out of the car. I look at my car. No damage. I look at her car. Damaged. I look at my car. No damage. I look at her car. Damaged. And she comes out and said, why did you hit me? I said, well, what are you talking about? Who hit who? And then when she knew what happened, she backed up on it. And she starts calling her husband and they're going through the stuff. Anyhow, I talked to the husband later and says, what are you going to do? Are you going to report? I said, forget it. I'm not going to mess with this. You go fix your car. My car is, there's no problem with my car. The devil's a liar. Yeah. He wanted to mess something up for me that day. But God decided, I am fortifying you. Now, how many things will God do for you when you are in partnership with Him? Now, it might be her fault, but in Manitoba, we have a no-fault insurance situation that if I had received any damage, she might lost some points or whatever in her merit points, but I'll be paying $200 deductible. I'd rather give that $200 to God than give it to the auto body company. Hallelujah. Do you know how much God protects you from when you honor Him? Do you know how much He increases your little and makes it much? When you go buy something and it's supposed to cost $10,000 and you paid $1,000 for it or even $500 for it, what is that percentage of exchange? When you walk into a store and all of a sudden they go on this sale, whatever. This item is on sale and that's the item you came there for. And as soon as you finish buying and paying for it, it's over. It was only for 5 minutes. I'm not talking about some made-up story. I'm talking about things that have happened to us. Praise the Lord. The grace of God that brings you into that abundance. I will rebuke the devourer. Whatever it is that wants to devour what I have placed in your hands, placed in your life, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. Put up that verse again. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He shall not. He didn't say he should not. He says he shall not. That's God emphasizing, and he put his name to that. I'm going to do the rebuking. I'm going to stop the destroyer from destroying the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. You're not going to have an expectation that's going to fail. That's what he's saying. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. In other words, here's a fruit you're looking forward to having it, and it falls. God is not interested in you pickling stuff. Oh, it fell. I'm going to pickle it. No. God wants you to eat the ripe, fresh fruit. And he says, the enemy will not be able to destroy the fruits of your ground. Hallelujah. Please hear this. Now, you can be hearing all of this and say, oh, that's good. But you need to lay hold on it. Not just because you gave, but because you are confessing what God's word says. Let me restate that. Because there are lots of people that give. And today, you'll be picking up your envelopes from your donations for 2,000 15, or 25 rather. Wow, went way back. But it's not enough to put your dollars. You've got to speak to that seed to do what God's word says. When God speaks, he speaks in you and through you. God, you multiply my seed sown. You rebuke the devourer for my sake. And I say, devourer, you are rebuked because my Father has rebuked you. You will not and you cannot destroy the fruits of my ground. This is the blessing of the Lord. The curse said thorns and thistles are going to come out of the ground. But then the word of God says, as we praise God, as we honor God, the earth will yield its increase. It will yield its increase. Now, that increase is a result of my first fruits. Praise the Lord. My first fruits unto the Lord. God rebukes the devourer for my sake. You can expound on that some more as you study the word of God. Now, let's look at Ezekiel 44 and verse 30. Ezekiel 44 and verse 30. It talks about the first fruits, but this time it talks about not the first fruit that comes to the house of God so that the house of God has increased. Now it talks about the first fruit and the result in your house, my house, your house. It says, and the first fruit of all the first fruits, and the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations shall be the priest. This is another first fruit. It's called the first of all the first fruits of all things. Are you ready for this? This one is more important to God because it calls it the first of the first. Do you see that? Why is it important to God? It is important to God because God wants us to get away from the mindset of, I gave to God, but I did not give to man. And God says, yeah, you don't see me, but you're saying you're giving to me. Now, let me see how you're going to do and demonstrate your love for me by loving the man that I sent to represent me. You get it? So the first fruit, you know, many times people say, I'm giving to God, but have you given to the man or the woman of God that God has placed in your life? As far as God is concerned, you've not started giving yet. I didn't make it up. It's right here in the Word of God. Your love for God and his house is demonstrated by your love and your care for the man or the woman of God that God has placed in your life. And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause, that he may cause, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. That he may what? That he what? Who is the he? The man of God. God says, you want the blessing to stay in your house? Honor that man. Give into his life. It is for your sake. The one that gives into my life receives the commanded blessing. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. Are we together? So there is a bringing to the house so that there's blessing in the house of God. But there is a blessing that comes into your house because you connect with a man, a woman, a son, a daughter of God that he has assigned to be a shepherd. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we together? So your tithe brings a blessing to the God's house, and your first fruit brings a blessing to your house. So when you bring the first fruit to the man of God, you say, speak the blessing over my household. Speak the blessing over me. And he speaks that blessing, and you go with that blessing, knowing that you have engaged in that grace and that anointing. Praise the Lord. Now, in 2nd, let me go to Proverbs 11:24 first. Proverbs 11 and verse 24. It says, there is that scattereth, in order spreads it, and yet increaseth. He's scattering, but he's increasing. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or more than is necessary. So God is not saying, don't withhold or don't save. He's saying, if you're saving more than is needed, more than is necessary, it tended to what? Poverty. It's going to bring you to poverty. Whether it's the giving to the house of God or giving to the man of God. You withhold more than is needed, it's going to head you in the path of poverty, lack. But when you allow the Lord to shepherd you and give you direction, as you acknowledge him, he says he will direct your path. He will tell you what to do. Praise the Lord. This morning as I came to the house of the Lord, the Lord spoke to me, says, I want you to do this right now. I said, do what? He said, I want you to send this money for this purpose. So I was in the back room there. I was doing it right away. That was God giving me direction. I don't do things without God giving me direction when it comes to finances. I'm not going to be moved by my emotions. I'm going to be moved by clear directives. And when God has given me direction, I make sure I obey right now. Because obedience, Bible tells us, is better than what? Sacrifice. Even better than sacrifice, the obedience. So if God says you somebody came into covenant with him by sacrifice, how do you think God looks at the one who comes to him, not just by sacrifice, but by obedience? That's a totally different level. God will start doing all kinds of stuff that you cannot imagine. Giving does not limit you or reduce you. It increases you. It increases me. I find God, of all the things I've learned from God, one of the fundamental things I thank God for is the grace to understand the power of giving. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's of utmost importance. Don't hold back more than is necessary because it's going to get you into lack. It's going to get you into poverty. What are benefits of this first fruit? Some further benefits. Look at Jeremiah 2 and verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 3. God says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. It's talking about the whole nature. This is first fruits of my increase. He says, all that devour him shall offend. Anyone that devours Israel offends. Evil shall come upon them, said the Lord. Now, what is God saying? When you come into that place where you are holy unto the Lord, you become not just a giver of the first fruit, but you see yourself as the first fruit unto God. God says, anybody that comes after you is offending me and will therefore experience evil. It's not might, it shall. That's why you don't touch the anointed of God, the separated one. God, the first fruit, he says, the first fruit causes every other thing to be blessed. Every other thing gets blessed because of the first fruit. Everything else in your life gets blessed because of the first fruit. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 31. God talking about first fruit says, it causes God to remember. 13:31. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 31. It talks about another offering here called the wood offering. It says, and for the wood offering, what is the wood offering? The wood offering is that which is ignited that burns the sacrifice. It is the gasoline, so to speak. It says, and for the wood offering at times appointed, there are times God is going to say, I need a wood offering. That wood offering is what buttresses your sacrifice. So this is my sacrifice I'm bringing to God. God says, put something, wedge it. Ignite this so that this burns. It's called the wood offering. He says that there are going to be times when God asks you for the wood offering, because whatever wood, whatever it is that's igniting and causing the sacrifice to burn, the wood is burnt down. So you need more wood. How many people have a fireplace? Or you know what a fireplace is. You have a fireplace. You put wood, when the fire is beginning to burn down, you put more wood in it, right? Now, that's called the wood offering. There are those times when the Lord will come and say, and we've done that many times through the years. We didn't do that this year. Where the beginning of the year we'll raise a special offering, you know, like this year's 2026, you know, we'll say, you know, let the saints come and give a special offering of 2026 to mark the year. That's your wood offering. That's not anything else, that's wood offering. Are you with me? Okay. So now you understand. It says, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O my God, for good, because I've brought the wood offering and first fruits. So when you remember me, remember me for what? Good. That goodness. No. The psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is how God connects with us in that regard. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. As we begin to settle the message this morning. Actually, before I go to 2 Corinthians 9, let me do this. We talked about the first fruit and the blessings to our house. Now let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 42. This is another benefit, and the Lord Jesus Christ used this in one of the miracles he did. A man comes from a place called Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God, Elisha, bread of what? Of the first fruits. 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, meaning Elisha, said, give unto the people that they may eat. So he has this bread of the first fruit, 20 loaves of barley, some full ears of corn and a husk, and says to the people, give to the people. There were about 100 people there. 43. Verse 43. He says, and his servitor, that's his servant, messenger, said, what should I set this before 100 men? There's not enough here. He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall what? Eat and shall live thereof. There's going to be leftovers. The guy is saying, that's not enough here. And God says, forget about that. When you release the first fruit serves all of the purposes. Praise God. When you release the first fruit, it brings about a release that covers every need. Jesus, in a sense, when Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it was the first fruit from the hands of that young man. And he used it to feed 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women or the children, and he was left with 12 baskets afterwards. Your first fruit is very important. It is that particular place that God brings you and I to that brings us beyond the natural into seeing through the windows of God. Seeing beyond what you can see here. God, through the first fruit, causes you to see more. You want to do business and you don't know what to do. Honor God with the first fruit. All of a sudden, your vision, the veil will get off, and you will see opportunities that you never saw before. This is all personal benefits to us as God's people. In Romans 11, Romans 11 and verse 16, Romans 11 and verse 16, it says, for if the first fruit be holy, and that's what it is, the first fruit before God, in the sight of God, is holy, it's set apart. It says, the lump is also holy. If the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. This is the first time God has addressed this way. Because the word of God says that when an unholy thing touches that which is holy, the holy thing becomes unholy. Yeah? So right there in the book of Haggai. But here the word of God says, when the first fruit is holy, If you've honored God with that first fruit and it's holy, the lump is holy. It doesn't matter where the lump came from, it is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And what is he talking about, the lump? He's talking about Gentiles, the Gentiles that are unholy because of what God has done with his first fruit, Israel. Now the rest gets holy unto God. Amen? So we need to connect with God. There are benefits here in your giving. This is your way of coming into covenant with God. And God says, gather those people. Gather them. These people that are covenanted with me, gather them together. And in the name of Jesus, I call the gathering of God's people who are in covenant with God. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This passage of scripture is a scripture that basically I need to spend time all by itself on this one. Second Corinthians 9, beginning to read from verse 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In other words, you determine what your results are going to be, sparingly or bountifully. When you see somebody operating the bountifulness of God, the blessings of God, and you are operating sparingly, ask yourself the question, rather than judging them, ask yourself the question, am I in that category or am I in the category that I am meant to be at? Every man, he says, according as he purposeth in his heart, everyone, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. In essence, God is saying, I'm not going to tell you what to give, how to give, when to give. You purpose in your heart. Now, my giving is based on the directives of the Lord. But there are times when I step out without hearing God say this, that, or whatever. God, I'm going to do this. You don't need to do that. Yeah, but I'm going to do that. Thank you. You didn't need to do that, but you purpose in your heart to do it. Now, I'm purposing in my heart to do this for you. Connect. As he purposes in his soul, let him give, not grudgingly. Don't let somebody... but I guess I will do it. God says, don't do it grudgingly. And don't do it out of necessity because there is a need. He says there's only one way that really God really likes. God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't say God loves a grudging giver or a giver out of necessity. He says he loves cheerful givers. God says, give. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. God loves that kind of a person. He says, this is what happens to the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, all enablement, all wisdom, all strength, all capacity to abound towards you. He will give you the insights. He will go behind whatever it is that's going to happen in the market and begin to address issues before you know in the natural. All grace, he goes, cause all grace to abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every what? Good work. So if there's a need, because you're not a person who gives out of necessity or grudgingly, but cheerfully, I'm going to so bless you that when there is a need, you can keep on giving cheerfully, not grudgingly or out of necessity. The giving out of necessity is you giving because you have a need. I have a need, so I need to sow now. No, I want you to be in that place where you don't have to operate from, I need to do this or I need to do that. I just want you to flow in that capacity of just being a giver. It says, as it is written, he had dispersed abroad. He had given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Whose righteousness remaineth forever? The giver. The righteousness that God speaks over him remaineth forever. There's a strange passage of scripture in Proverbs. It says that the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up, but the wicked fall into destruction. This is what happens to givers. They may trip, they may fall, but because of their commitment to God, they get back up. Because you can only fall if you're walking or standing. Yeah? Can I fall if I'm already down? No. If you're already down in your commitment to God, all you have is destruction. You'll be trampled over. Right? You're trampling over the enemy. The enemy will trample over you. You and I need to break forth in the wisdom of God and be in that realm of grace. Then he says in verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Who is the minister of seed to the sower? God. He ministers seed to the sower. He says, both minister bread for your food. Bread for your food is the finished work. It's what is already completed. He says God is not just going to give you the raw stuff that you sow, but he's going to give you the finished, cooked, all prepared table. He prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. And multiply your seed sown. So you sowed one seed, God says, I'll multiply. This is God matching you. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. He will increase the fruits of your righteousness, your investment in souls. He says, I'm going to increase it. Being enriched, he says in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. What does my giving do? It causes people to begin to praise God. Hallelujah. So, not only is God multiplying my seed, people are praising God. In just a moment, I'm going to show you some pictures of things that your seed, my seed, has done in the nations. I don't know how many times somebody had a need or that I knew about or did not know about, but God spoke to me to do something, and I do it, and they start thanking God and praising God. Even your enemy, with their own mouth, will praise God. Hallelujah. They may be thinking something else, but what you heard is what you heard. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nobody's going to take that which belongs to you, the blessing that belongs to you, or turn your good into evil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. which causeth through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supply the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection, unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is God's perspective. In Matthew 6 and 21, the Word of God tells us about our investments being in heaven. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That treasure is the overflow from here to there. And it says, that's where your heart will be also. If your heart is focused on the earth and earthy things, then it will be corrupted. It says, invest in that which becomes incorruptible. Invest in the kingdom of God. Amen? So today, I challenge you. I wanted to take time today by the directives of the Lord to talk about giving so that you have a foundation. So when we say it is time to honor God with our giving, you have something to connect it with, the Word of God. Okay, this is why I give. Well, I'm giving to the pastor. Well, that's how the blessing comes into your life. So now you shut the devil down, says, devil, you rebuked. I know what I'm doing. I'm giving it to this man of God, and this man of God represents him, and he's going to speak the blessing of God over my life. Praise the Lord. Even a crooked, messed up Eli. Remember him? The only reason Hannah was able to have her first baby was because of Eli. The reason she had her other children, go and read it, was because Eli said, where are your other children? She says, we don't have any other children. He says, go, you're blessed. And she started having children again. Your man of God is important. Amen? Let that blessing be spoken into your life at all times. And increase will come. Amen? Praise the Lord. Rise with me. How many today want to say, I want to come into covenant with God through sacrifice? If that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See all those hands. Put them down. Say with me, Father, I have received your word. And this day, by grace, granted me by your word, by your presence, by your authority, I come into covenant by sacrifice. I come in obedience to your word. Let your word be activated fully in my life so that my life begins to impact the world, this locality and globally. Wherever I am, may I be a vessel of honor for your glory and honor. Thank you, Father, for saving me and using my life. This day, with my own mouth, I declare I'm a vessel of honor, glorifying God. I'm in partnership with my Heavenly Father in the winning of souls through my givings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, I would like for those that need to migrate to Zoom to do so. I'll ask at this time for those that are going to honor God with their giving to also do so. This is Mission Sunday, which means that it's a Sunday that we give the extra for missions. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay.